Tonight on the Midlife Crisis Task Force, we're going to cover current events, our dream movies, and movies we think are so bad they should never have been made. We're back, gang.
Hello, it's been a while. We're glad to be back. We're glad to have you there listening to us, and we hope everybody's doing okay.
That's right. It's been a couple of weeks due to some unforeseen events and some illnesses and whatnot, but we're all back. And hey, for those of you who are new, I am the amazing Rando.
And I'm Poncho.
And I'm Lefty.
And we welcome you all to the Midlife Crisis Task Force.
Sorry we weren't around last week. I hope you enjoyed our little outtake from show number 7. I will try not to leave the room again in the future.
Yeah, you got to keep us, you know, you got to keep us from going wrong.
There. Yeah. Poncho. So what's been going on? I guess we ought to start by mentioning the passing of Roger Ebert.
Yes, kind of sad. I grew up with the man, really.
He's been
writing about a whole movies and so on and so forth for so many years. They said the job basically landed in his lap. The original movie critic decided to retire. Somebody called him in the office and said, "Hey, Rog, you want to review movies?" That's kind of how it happened.
Oh, I didn't know that. Wow.
No.
I also understand that he was an advocate of animation and was an advocate of Japanese animation. They said, I read a story that Siskel, whom he used to review movies with, Siskel and Ebert at the movies or under various show names, but Siskel had viewed My Neighbor Totoro and had given it a thumbs down. Ebert convinced him to give it another look, and watching the movie again convinced Siskel to do a rare reversal and give it a thumbs up anyway.
Good job, Roger. Nice. That's my favorite Miyazaki film.
Very good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I grew up watching that. I mean, PBS. He was on there.
Sneak previews.
Yes, that's right. The one I couldn't remember.
Yep. I was racking my brain for it too.
Yep, I used to love that show. I mean, you're talking, well, not us to sound like we're old farts, but I guess we are, but this is before you can get all this stuff online.
Yeah.
I mean, you didn't have an outlet for stuff this.
Yeah, this was back in the four-channel days.
Yeah, the pre-cable TV days where you only had four or five channels, and if you wanted to find out what was going on in the movies, you either read about it in the newspaper or you turned on sneak previews for 30 minutes every Friday or Saturday night, and see what these two guys thought about it. And it was always – I know it sounds boring. If you've never watched the show, it must sound boring. But these two guys were so intelligent and so insightful, and they had such opposing views of things.
They would
really get into art or in really serious arguments sometimes about movies. And it was really fun to watch, I mean, to get their take on things. And there were sayings that they reviewed. I don't think I ever would have even considered watching if I hadn't seen them discuss it. And some that I was too young at the time to watch. And years later, I always kept them in the back of my head. Kiss of the Spider Woman comes immediately to mind. Roger Ebert loved that film. And I was too young to watch it. So it was like 20 years later. I finally did watch it. And he was right. It was a great movie.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, it was fun watching them back then. I mean, because they both were students of film. I mean, they knew what they were talking about. It wasn't just, oh, he did a really good acting job or this, that, and the other. They really knew how a movie should be made and how a story should be told. And they could tell you if it was done well or not.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, they were both experienced writers. I think that really had a lot to do with it. They knew how to craft a piece and probably expected that out of a movie as well.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. And they were critics. It's not like now when you see interviews with stars, all they're doing is, you know, they're just doing their little tour of these movies. I mean, I'm sure there's stuff online now, but there's nothing on TV anymore like this, I don't think.
They were true critics versus the critics now who sound mostly like studio shills. I saw the movie and I loved it.
Right.
No, you didn't. You got paid to say that.
Exactly. You probably didn't even see the movie.
Yeah, more than likely. But then later on, you know, Roger, I didn't know this. I was reading it today. He had three different types of cancer.
It started in his thyroid. I read
thyroid,
that
and then I think throat cancer and jaw cancer. Yeah. And at the end, they had to remove his jaw. He was unable to speak. So he began also to write about his life with cancer. So interesting guy. He's published a lot of stuff. He won a Pulitzer Prize. Did you know that?
I didn't know that. No.
No.
Yep. That he did.
Not surprised.
No, not
but
surprised,
yeah.
But I didn't know that. No.
I think he also wrote the script for the Valley of the Dolls.
That's, yes, I believe so. He did write a movie script. I believe it was Valley of the Dolls.
Yeah.
Huh.
So, I mean, yeah, he was a very talented and insightful person, and I think the world's a little worse off without him on.
Yeah. Yeah, I have to agree with that.
And he was one of the reasons to have a Twitter account. Because he tweeted constantly, and he was very intelligent.
That, yeah.
He was one of the few people on Twitter that I actually look forward to seeing their name popped up. He always had something interesting and funny to say. And, you know, having had three types of cancer and not being able to speak, he was just as eloquent and just as hip and with it as he ever had been. I mean, and if you ever saw the guy, hip is not a word that you'd ever use to describe him. He was kind of a roly-poly guy, but...
Very true.
A really great mind, and he's going to be missed.
Yes, true. If you don't know his work, I encourage you to get to know him. Either find his reviews online if you can, see how he discusses them, and look for his books. They're good reads. It's good a good education on film and a good insight onto criticism.
Yep, and try YouTube. I'm sure they might. Somebody has sneak previews out there on YouTube,
yeah.
I am sure.
Yeah.
Somebody has to.
I'm sure somebody does.
Let's move on to other current events, such as the wide variety of sports events that have been going on.
Yeah, it's been an interesting week. I guess the top story is Kevin Ware, basketball player for the Louisville Cardinals, who broke his leg in a rather impressive fashion at a game Monday night.
Yes, it was very horrible to look at.
It was. It was... I described it to a friend on Facebook as the worst injury I've seen since Theismann, Joe Theismann. It was bad. It was hard to watch. I watched the video and thought, oh, I got to show this to my wife. And then I saw it, and I'm like, I'm not showing this to my wife.
Yeah, it was pretty gruesome.
It was bad. Look it up if
you
haven't. You
didn't even need to see the injury to see how bad it was. To see merely the looks of utter shock and disbelief on the coach and his fellow teammates.
Yeah.
It's colossal. I mean, you're used to seeing emotion like that thrown purely at the game, but this was at an individual who had something horrible, horrible happen to him during the game. And I think it's a testament to, you know, the teams and, you know, not only to him, because evidently he went down, you know, encouraging them to stay in the game, play the game, win the game. And by God, they did.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And so this guy's got an incredible attitude for what happened to him and an incredible love for his team.
Yeah. I heard an interview with him this week. He's a good kid. He's got a good head on his shoulders. I really hope him, you know, that he will recover from this and be able to play again.
Yeah. Well, and another testament to modern medical science, this guy, if you're not familiar with what happened, he broke both of the bones in his lower right leg. One of them was protruding 6 inches out of his skin, and they had to put a rod in his leg, and last night he did the top 10 list on David Letterman.
That he did.
Yep. He's traveling with his team to, I believe, is Atlanta where they're playing the Final Four this weekend? So he traveled down. He's able to travel with his team down to Atlanta. He got clearance for that, so he's going to be on the bench with them at least.
Good. That'll be a good inspiration for everybody.
Yes.
Yep. And, this is with a different story, but going with the sports theme real quick, I don't know if you guys heard about the Rutgers coach.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Did y'all happen to see the video?
Bits of it.
Now, you're going to have to explain that one to me. I'm totally in the dark on that one.
Well, it's Rutgers basketball head coach. His last name's Rice, I believe.
Yes.
A video came out this week, Tuesday, I believe it came out.
I believe Tuesday or Wednesday.
Yeah, showing a practice, a typical series of practices with the basketball team where the man was taking basketballs, throwing at the players, throwing at their heads, shoving the kids. I mean, not just like put them in position kind of shoving. Shoving them hard, running around like a maniac.
Calling them names.
Calling them names.
Homophobic slurs. And yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, throwing basketballs at the kids' head.
At their crotches.
Even if they did something right. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, if he got fired Thursday. But the thing is, there's backlash from this story now. Because what I heard this afternoon, the president of Rutgers, the university president, said at the time, because this happened back in November, and the athletic director, you know, was bringing it to his attention, you know, we're going to get some lawyers in here, we're going to run this through HR, because what they ended up doing was just, at the time, fining him like $75,000 and suspending him for like three games.
Slap on the wrist, basically.
He had to do some anger management classes or whatever. But anyway, today, the president of the university comes out and says at the time of the incident when all this was occurring, he never watched the video.
Oh, my God.
He never watched the video until this Tuesday when it came out, when it went viral, so to speak.
Wow.
And, yeah, there's going to be some backlash from this because if you got, like, your highest paid, he's probably the highest paid faculty member on that school.
If he's not, he's right behind the football coach. It's one or the other.
One or the other. And if somebody goes up to, if your athletic director goes up to you in November stating, hey, I think we're going to fire this guy, but we're going to go through all this legal and HR rules and stuff before we do it, I think the president has a responsibility to look at the video.
Well, he'll be the next head to roll, I imagine. The AD either was fired or stepped down earlier today.
Fired, I think, and he was throwing out the argument that, hey, I wanted to fire them, but the university said we have to go through these means.
Oh, Lord.
So, I don't know. Everybody's throwing – yeah, it's a big mess, and I just think it's been a bad week for college athletics.
Yeah. Jeez. Wow.
Whew. Yeah. Man.
But it's baseball season.
That's true. Everything's good with that so far.
Yeah. Only a week into it. Give it time.
Yeah, give it time. Oh. Steroids, mm-hmm. sex, it's coming.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep. Quick note here on football since we're on the subject. I heard this today, and I just thought this was bizarre. I'm trying to understand the logic why you would even do this. But the NFL competition committee handed down a rule today. A little backstory. The NFL is trying to get people to go to games more. Everybody is, you know, mostly staying home or going to bars or whatever, enjoying the game that way. Because you can pause it, you can, you know, whatever you want to do nowadays, right? Well, what they're trying to do, and I don't know who came up with this rule, but for home teams, there will be a camera set up in the locker room of the home team. And during halftime, they will present whatever goes on into the locker room.
Oh, what? My God. Why?
Yeah. I don't know. And the kicker is, my understanding and what the guy here on the radio was talking about, there's not going to be any audio because obviously they're talking about what they're going to do for the second half of the game. But they're saying this is supposed to add something to the game, but I can't understand the logic behind it.
I can't either. That doesn't make any sense. That'll last until one of the players decides he needs a quick shower and he walks in there buck naked.
Yeah, or they do it exactly. on purpose just to screw with the people.
Well, yeah, hell, I would.
Yeah, exactly. But I thought I'd throw that in real quick as a little side note.
That doesn't make any sense at all. Way to go, NFL.
Woo!
Exactly.
Oh, boy.
Oh, so anybody got any other they want to cover current events before we move on?
Well, there's this, in my opinion, silly backlash at President Obama for talking about the Attorney General of California saying that this woman, you know, rattling off her accolades that she's, you know, she's tough, she's smart, she's intelligent, and then also saying that she looks good. And apparently that was the extent of it. She looks good.
Right.
And apparently some people got their knickers in a twist, and it exploded into this ridiculousness of an outrage. The saying that, you know, he's demeaning her or whatever. And it got bad enough that he actually did issue an apology directly to her.
Oh my God, exactly.
It's just crazy. Cause in my opinion, I don't think the man did anything wrong. In my opinion, if he had come up there and said something to the effect of, you know, and here's our little lady, the attorney general, or if he'd have said, you know,
or swatted her on the butt like the prime minister of Canada did, you know, 20, 30 years ago.
Yeah. You know, it's things that are really actually demeaning and saying, or if he had only said, and here's our good looking attorney general and didn't list any of her other accolades, I could agree with the backlash. But the fact that he listed her accolades and listed her achievements and then also said that she looks nice, I don't honestly see a problem with that. I think there's some, I think the world has gotten too uptight when you can't even pay a woman a reasonable compliment.
Oh, I agree with you totally.
Completely. Yeah.
I mean, it's such an any kind of even just a normal office situation nowadays. If you pay a, you know, somebody of the opposite sex a compliment, they technically can turn you in for sexual harassment.
Yeah, it's crazy. There are instances of sexual harassment. I'm not going to deny that.
Oh, sure.
But
sure.
There
yeah,
are.
I'm not saying
but,
that.
But there has to be a line somewhere where you can actually interact with a woman and say, you know, hey, you look nice, and that be it. That be the extent of it without it being blown up into some giant ass issue. It's just crazy.
Yeah, if the attorney general had been a man and he had listed all those accolades and then said, and he's a really handsome guy, he would have got a laugh. Everybody would have laughed it off like it was a joke.
Exactly. But because of this, everybody's thinking women's rights have been set back 100 years because the president said she's a good-looking woman. It's fine. It's not hurting anything. Look at our society, number one. When's the last time you saw somebody other than on The Biggest Loser that wasn't like a 10 on any hosting anything?
Yeah. I've always said Abraham Lincoln is arguably our greatest president. He would never have been elected president in the modern day because he's ugly. He would never have survived the camera test. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Makes you wonder how Nixon got through.
Yeah, really.
Well, you know, there's a certain segment of people in this country that nothing Mr. Obama does is going to be right. You know, nothing he says is right.
Oh, sure.
No position he takes is going to be the right one. Everything the man does is wrong. And they're going to harp on anything they can find, even just an iota of something they can find that they can slam.
Yeah, because I got a good example of it. Me and Mrs. Lefty went out to dinner the other night, little pizza place, and across from us was a table full of old people, probably mid-60s to 70s, about 8 of them. And they started going off on Obama. And they might as well have just said, you know, I don't like him because he's black.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You'll never convince me that isn't 90% of people's problem with him. A lot of people's
problem
with
him. I totally believe that. I would have had more respect for him if they would just been honest than just spout out a bunch of bullshit disguised as, oh, they're really worried about shit. No, they're worried because there's a black guy in friggin' office. Now, if that black guy was 50 Cent, I probably would be a little concerned. But we're talking about a highly educated man who, you know, is better than the Bubba we had before. You know, the Americans have this thing against intelligence.
Yeah, I don't get it.
You know,
I don't get it. Well,
they'd rather have somebody like Bush that they could sit down and have a beer with. They, you know, because nobody sits around and has discussions anymore. You know, and they think he's aloof, and they think he comes off as not everyday Joe, which maybe he's not, and maybe that's not necessarily a bad thing. I don't want everyday Joe running the goddamn country.
Jeez.
You know, that's just my opinion, but...
Well, what can you do? This is the times we live in, for better or worse.
Yeah. Nothing. You just have to be the best person you can and let everybody else make asses out of themselves. Because God knows I'm perfect.
All righty. Well, on that note,
I think we'll move on, or this is going to turn into the midlife crisis political hour.
Yeah.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, we'll be like the McLaughlin Report.
Wrong! Wrong!
Wrong!
George, for talking, tell me what you think. Tell me. Tell me.
Oh, Lord. Okay, moving on.
Okay.
We've been kicking this around a while. We were wondering, you know, we've been complaining about movies we hate. What would we like to see made into a movie, and who would we like to see cast in it?
Who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
I'll go first.
I'll be surprised if you two haven't guessed that I was going to say this.
Okay.
Let me think. Barbie goes to... No? No, okay. Sorry. No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Johnny Quest.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah.
That is a very good
one. Johnny Quest has a high probability of being ruined, but it would make for an interesting film, I think.
Johnny Quest, but only if it was set back in its original inception time, which would have been the late 60s.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Now, are you talking an animated film, or are you talking a live-action film?
I think it could be pulled with today's technology and with a decent writer and with that setting. I think they could pull it off as a live-action film.
Okay.
Yep. The casting would be very important.
It would be colossally important. For the longest time, I had thought of using Eric Stoltz as Dr. Quest.
Huh.
It's interesting. He's getting a little...
He's old.
A little weird looking.
he's getting a little worse for wear right now. But I was wondering, in my opinion, whoever would play Dr. Quest, and for those of you who don't know who Johnny Quest is, Johnny Quest was the greatest American animated cartoon, period. Period.
It's my brother's favorite, I do believe.
It was actually prime time when it ran originally, wasn't it, in the 60s?
I think it might have been, yeah. It was an adventure show.
I know we watched it on Saturday mornings, but I think it originally was a primetime show.
And it could have been. I mean, the Flintstones started out in primetime, believe it or not.
Yeah.
Johnny Quest was an adventure show. It was centered around the boy, Johnny. His father, who was a brilliant scientist named Dr. Benton Quest, he is a single father. And he has a bodyguard and companion who ends up pulling a double duty of being the boy's tutor. And he adopted an Indian boy named Haji, whom they met on one of their adventures. So it's Johnny and Haji and the two men, and they go on these fantastic adventures to exotic locales and deal with things with the mix of action and science. And in my opinion, one of the best things about it was that there were consequences to people's actions. And so many cartoons, you just see, you know, there's a hail of these imaginary laser beams or something, and then people just throw their hands up, scream, and run away, and then the episode's over. People actually died on that show. Mm-hmm. There were consequences to people's actions. There was drama, and they played it serious. And it was great. Absolutely great. And you had the character archetype of Dr. Benton Quest, who had to be the brilliant scientist, but also had to have a father's concern and sternness where applicable. You had Race Bannon, who had to maintain the role of bodyguard friend, a close friend to Dr. Quest, as well as being the boy's mentor. And I guess in a certain point of view, a surrogate father for the times when Dr. Quest was tied up with his work or business or having to go wherever. You had the two boys, of course, who were just precocious boys, but also brave and courageous. You also had an arch enemy, Dr. Zen. Oh.
Yeah.
Dr. Zen is great. And then you had a very small recurring character of Jezebel Jade, who was connected with Race Bannon. But it could be a fantastic movie.
I
think it would be.
If it's done properly,
you know what would happen.
If it's done properly,
we know what would happen. They'd make it a comedy.
Yeah, unfortunately,
either that or they'd set it in the 21st century, and they would add it. The only drawback I would see to doing that show now is that there is no, other than that Jezebel character, there is no female character in the entire series.
Yeah, there's no love
interest. There's no love interest.
Yeah.
There's no mother.
You got to have a fucking love interest. For
yeah,
some
they
reason.
Would. They would have to introduce a character to that, or they'd have to make Jezebel a bigger character than she was, something like that.
I could see right. that, but Jezebel is more than just sex appeal. Jezebel is savvy. Jezebel is street smart. And she
sounds
can
like a
hold
good role
her
for
own.
Scarlett Johansson.
Could be. Could be.
Yeah.
I'm all for Scarlett Johansson skimpy. In a cat suit in any form.
Yep, anything skimpy.
Yeah, I mean, they were all great characters. And if they kept the setting and tone, it could be wonderful, but it'd be really screwed up. But what I getting back off my long tangent here, I was thinking about recent actors and who I would think would fit the archetype. And I'm curious what you guys think about Clark Gregg as Dr. Quest.
Who is he?
Clark Gregg played Agent Phil Coulson in the Marvel movies.
He's not hunky enough. That would be my only drawback.
Yeah, I don't picture that. I'm picturing somebody a little more pasty, but kind of manly, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but Dr. Quest really wasn't that much of a manly man, nor was he really specifically hunky.
Well, if you go by the Venture Brothers, you know, he wasn't, him and Race were a little bit more than long time.
Well, yeah, really. But
on that note, no, before we go any further,
okay,
years ago, comedy, it was, I can't remember if it was Cartoon Network or Nickelodeon, one or the other, had a call-in poll for Mother's Day and wanted people to call in and vote for who was the best cartoon mom. And it was between Judy Jetson, Wilma Flintstone, and Race Bannon.
Very good. Very
he
good.
Did act as a caretaker, that's for sure. but again, I was trying to think of Greg. You look at him in some of the pictures. You could see him as playing intelligence, playing bravery, and having a look that could be fatherly as well. That's kind of why I was thinking about that. Now,
he's too old now. I was thinking Harrison Ford.
Oh,
somebody
he's far
like
too
Harrison
old.
Ford, but he's far too old now.
Far too old. But for Race has always been a thorn in my side. I've been thinking about this cast for a long time. And the more I think about it and thinking of kind of a youngish actor who can play action, bravery, can obviously bulk up to have a beefy frame when he needs to, Chris Evans.
Thor.
Hemsworth? Hmm. Yeah, I could see Hemsworth
I'm getting my Chris's mixed up. Chris Evans.
Chris Evans was Captain America.
Okay.
See, I'm thinking they're too young.
They are a bit.
I always picture those guys in their 40s.
Yeah.
I see them as like mid to late 30s.
Okay.
So maybe a little bit younger, but not too much.
Well, you know how it would actually end up being cast, don't you?
It'd be like Fantastic Four.
Yeah, really?
It'd be something like Nicolas Cage as Dr. Benton Quest, Justin Beaver as Johnny, and the little Indian dude from 30 Minutes or Less as Haji.
I would have to burn Hollywood to the ground if they did that. Mm.
Plus, they would change Haji's name, I can tell you that right now.
Yeah, they would, because that's become a derogatory term.
Yes. I mean, they would change it enough that I don't think I would watch it. But it would be a nice movie if it could be made properly by a fan. Or something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Who would you guys see as Zen? I can't come up with one.
Zen?
I have no idea.
I'm trying to think. I could picture the cartoon.
See, I would kind of want to.
If Yul Brynner was still around.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He's slightly dead, though. But
right.
I would want to cast a foreign actor for that role. I would not want to cast a white guy and slobber makeup all over him.
Oh, God, you know, no.
Zen could have been Chinese or Korean.
How about that guy from The Good, the Bad, and the Weird?
Song Kang-ho?
Yeah, can't remember.
Possibly. Possibly. Yeah. I mean, he's a good enough actor, he could carry it off. But I'm not sure. I'm not entirely sold. I mean, yeah. I can't quite picture him bald.
Be interesting.
Okay.
I think that would be a really good movie.
I think it would be too. I've taken up far too much time, so who wants to go next?
Well, I'll go if that's okay.
Yeah, go right ahead.
I have no idea on casting, because I'll be honest with you, it's been a while since I read this series of books. But I think what would make a really good movie is the John Varley books, Titan, Wizard, and Demon.
I almost picked those.
I don't know those.
They are well worth your reading if you ever get a chance.
If you are into science fiction and you've never read those three books, I highly recommend it. Some of the best science fiction you'll ever see. I've personally never read Robert Heinlein, but I keep seeing him compared. I keep seeing John Varley compared to him. So if you like Robert Heinlein, go read John Varley.
And this, I would actually would have to ask this be done in a miniseries on HBO, because a movie couldn't do it justice. You know, like a regular two-hour movie for each book.
No.
I really don't think that could do it justice.
It'd be like tough. Particularly that last one.
I'll be honest with you. Yeah, exactly. And I mean, it's been a while, and it makes me want to reread them, because I've been thinking about it ever since we came up with this idea. But I would love to see that, because with the technology we have now, the time's right.
Yeah, yeah, it is.
But for me, sci-fi movies are a tough sell anymore, because everything's so action-oriented.
Yeah. I agree.
And not story-driven.
And this is where it's more story-driven.
This is more story-driven. This would be something you take your time and watch. You'd watch it 2 hours at a clip, or even an hour at a clip if they did it.
Yeah,
right.
You would have to have something episodic for something like that. Otherwise, it would be four, 6 hour
epic. Oh, yeah, they would hack it to death in a movie. Like,
well, sure. Yeah, they don't make those anymore.
No. No.
No. But somehow they can take The Hobbit and make it into three fucking movies.
That would be a visual feast. I mean, the way he describes the world this is set in, and the animals and the aliens they meet. I mean, we're talking an Avatar level of special effects here.
And I'm thinking Terry Gilliam as the director. Somebody could really put a take on it.
Yeah,
stamp on it.
Oh, what's his name? Guy who did Pan's Labyrinth.
Del Toro.
Yeah.
Guillermo del Toro, yes. Yes.
Yep, that would be another one.
He would do that very well. But you'd have to change some bits of it. I think you'd have to tone down the lesbian sex a bit.
No, you wouldn't.
No, you would not.
Especially depending on who you wanted your audience to be. But
Well, especially if I cast Scarlett Johansson.
I sense a theme.
Yeah, I sense a theme.
But yeah, that's my pick.
That would be.
I would love to see that.
I think you could do Titan. Would make a really good movie. Wizard, you'd have to kind of pace it a little because there's a lot going on. Demon, I don't know how you'd make a movie out of Demon. I think you'd have to do some major rewrites to get it to work.
You might, like I said, I'm going to revisit these books now that I've been thinking about them so much lately. But I remember when I was reading them originally, how much I loved.
Yeah. Them. Yeah, we all did. We all read them, I remember.
Yeah.
After you read them.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I handed them out after that. I recommend, Rando, I don't know how much you like sci-fi novels. I recommend you get that trilogy if you can.
At least read the first one. At least read the first one.
Yeah. Yeah, the first one should grab you. I mean, should draw you in.
I'll have to give it a try. I got to make time, though. God, you guys have no idea. How many DVDs I haven't even opened.
I hear you. I got a stack of CDs I haven't even listened to yet, so I know where you're coming from.
Okay. Well,
being out of work, I don't have a stack of anything, so. Are you done?
Yeah, I'm done, because I really couldn't even begin with the casting since it's been so long.
And it's so obscure. I mean, a lot of people wouldn't get it, so.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm pretty much done with that one.
Okay. Well, my pick is actually one that's been done a couple of times, but it hasn't been done right. I'm not sure if you could do it right, but it's Frank Herbert's Dune.
That would be really – I haven't read the book, but I've seen multiple versions of what they have put on screen, and I've heard people talk about it, and I know that there's a lot of other books that go in the series, and I know that it is so – dense and so alien that that would almost really need to be a redone miniseries.
Oh, it would
to
have
really
to
capture it.
David Lynch made a movie of it in what, the mid '80s?
I think
early to mid '80s, something like that.
Early '80s, because Sting was in it. And he was real young,
and it was bad. It was really bad.
Yeah, there's like a 6-hour version somewhere.
It was. I found it visually stunning. Now, story wise, I have nothing to compare to, but visually, I found it very, very stunning and compelling.
I was about to say that visually it was great, but the storyline was, they kind of butchered what was in the book. They didn't exactly get the best cast, although I thought Kyle MacLachlan did a very good job as Paul Atreides, the main character. But everybody else was just kind of there. And the guy who played Baron Ruth, or the villain, was just so over the top. It was just not even.
Yeah, it's like Ming the Merciless.
Yeah, exactly.
Over
and
the top.
Sting.
I like Ming the Merciless.
That could be another one, Flash Gordon. There's never really been a good Flash Gordon. We'll come back to that.
Bite your tongue.
Okay. I
love that 1980 version, but we'll leave it at that.
Okay. We'll come back to that. But yeah, and Sci-Fi Channel did a miniseries version 8 or 10 years ago, but you know, we can stop at Sci-Fi Channel. I didn't even watch it. I heard some people say it was good, but it's just kind of disappeared into the ethers after that. But yeah, like you said, Rando, the book is dense. It's very dense. Wonderful story. Beautiful setting. One of the most original concepts in science fiction literature. And there's a lot going on in it. There's a lot of intrigue. There's a lot of philosophy going on. There's like
politics, too.
Yes, politics. And there's a lot of terminology. Like when they did do the movie in the 80s, the David Lynch film, in some theaters, they actually handed out leaflets to people going into the theater so that they would, that had definitions of some of the terms that they introduced, some of the jargon. And I'm like, that's not a good way to do something, because if you can't introduce that through your story, then, you know, passing out a leaflet isn't going to help anybody down the road.
No. Nobody wants to read their movie.
Exactly. Exactly. You just read the book.
Right. No, I agree with you on that.
I lost my train of thought. Getting old. Had a headache today, too. But yeah, it would have to be in a miniseries format. It would have to be grand enough to where you could explore all this stuff, but it would be hard to not get bogged down in it at the same time.
Well, it's hard to get that balance.
Yeah.
Plus you got to have a budget.
Yeah.
That movie demands
a huge budget. Yes. And another problem is a lot of the exposition in the book goes on inside the characters' heads. And you can't voice all that over. You have to find some way to I mean, it's important stuff too. You have to find some way to introduce that into the story. My idea,
interpretive dance.
There you go. That'll work. My idea a few years back when I was thinking about this was to have people doing journal entries. But that would get kind of tiresome after a while too. So maybe you have to do that, maybe balance it with something else. It would be a really tough film to do properly, but I don't think impossible.
Well, that's the thing, and so much is key on the money that's backing it, the vision of the director. I mean, you want to get somebody that's actually at least read the book and not like a write-up.
Yeah.
Somebody that's a fan. That's the thing about it. And I don't know how many directors are actually fans of the movies they make.
Very few, I think. Very few.
Yeah. I mean, that's really what hurts a lot of movies, I think, on a grand scale like that. Because it just, if your director's just in it to try to make a buck, you can tell.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, it doesn't do the storyline any justice.
No, which is what I think what they were trying to do with the 1980 film, because they added all that whole thing about the sound weapon. That's not in the book.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's not in the book. Yeah.
Huh.
And that's a pretty major part of the movie, too.
Yeah. Little plot point there.
There you go.
So I don't know. I don't know who to cast. I've always pictured Kyle MacLachlan as Paul Atreides. he's too old now. Has to be somebody young. I don't know who that would be. Right. Not Justin Bieber. Since we're going on a theme, I guess Scarlett Johansson as his love interest, Channy, just for the hell of it.
Always good casting. Yeah. Always good casting.
And Baron Harkonnen, I actually do think of somebody for that, Anthony Hopkins.
Oh, okay.
Somebody good who can sink their teeth. He's a great character, and somebody that can, you get an actor that can really portray him and not chew the scenery with him like the guy in the movie did. And don't have Sting anywhere near it.
That's funny.
But, well, going back to Flash Gordon real quick, I don't know if I've ever seen the 1980 movie. It just looks so... It just looks so cheesy. I mean, even at the time, it looked too cheesy for me.
Mrs. Lefty loves it.
It really... That is really part of its charm, believe it or not. It's a movie that does not take itself so seriously that it can't get away with it. I have a lot of bias because that's a movie I grew up with. But I can still watch it without thinking, oh, God, you know, I still like it. And if you do bother to watch it, the costumes are amazing. I mean, even the Birdman stuff, you got to think about it for its time in 1980 where they had like next to no money for that kind of effect. You forget the fact of how cheesy that is, and you get into the larger-than-life performance of Voltan by Brian Blessed.
Oh, and, I like Brian Blessed. He's a good actor.
And he plays that character, I think, well for the way it was done for the movie.
Yeah, my biggest knock on it, though, is the guy, was it Dr. Zarkov?
Yeah.
That guy's a waste of fucking space in that movie.
Hey, they don't have a lot for him to do, but I haven't seen any incarnation of Flash Gordon at all that had anything for Dr. Hans Zarkov to do other than press buttons and try to look smart.
Well, that's fine, but he can't even do that. His acting is so bad. That guy is just horrible.
The thing is, he's a famous actor, though. He was Topol. He was from Fiddler on the Roof. I think it was it was miscasting, though, more so than...
He was in a James Bond film. Mm. He was in...
I'm just saying for this particular movie.
Mm.
I got to look it up.
For Your Eyes Only?
Not sure.
I think it was For Your Eyes Only.
Okay.
The one I found so boring I didn't watch.
I mean, I'm just talking for this particular movie. I mean, I know his character doesn't have much to do and that's going on, but his acting is so bad in that, and maybe it's because he is miscast.
Have either of you ever seen the original movie serial with Buster Crabbe?
I've seen bits and pieces of them, but not like a whole run of them.
They're on Netflix, right, all three runs of them, and they're great. I mean, the first one... The third one, not so much, but the first one is really good. But you have to put in its time. Remember, it's a movie serial. You know, there's a lot of fighting where there really shouldn't be fighting, and you know, it's from the 1930s, so the effects are pretty cheesy. But it's really good. It's really fun to watch.
That's cool.
They got the Commander Cody stuff on there too.
They might.
Yeah, I'm not sure. They might.
I don't know. But there's places you can get those. They're public domain.
Yeah. I know they only got like two Godzilla movies and it pisses me off. And one of them's like the goddamn Matthew Broderick movie, which will lead us into our next fucking section.
Yes, it will. Good
talk.
Segue.
Yeah, very good Thank segue. You. Movies very that should segue. Never have been made.
Mm-hmm.
Go right. for it since Oops. You're on a tear.
Well, we got Godzilla.
Yeah.
That was just a bad idea gone wrong.
I was so looking forward to that when I first saw the preview for that, mm-hmm. and the preview ended up being the best thing about it. I mean, the trailer they ran in movies the year before, where they're at the museum, and the guy's talking about Tyrannosaurus mm-hmm. Rex, and he was the king of the beasts, and you know, the ultimate predator, and then this giant foot comes out of the ceiling and stomps it. And you're like, yeah, that's cool, but
yeah, I mean, it was just bad acting. The effect for the monster was okay. I kind of like what they did with redesigning it. But, I mean, everything else, the execution was just horrible.
See, I didn't like the way they did the monster because it didn't look like Godzilla.
Well, no, it didn't look like the ones you're used to. I mean, I expected them to tweak it. You know what I mean? And I kind of liked the... It was sleeker. It was faster. And I don't know. I kind of liked that, all right. But the rest of it was just like, why are these people even in this movie? And why can't he kill... He couldn't kill them all fast enough. And the fact that he didn't really pissed me off.
All right. Well, what do you think about Godzilla 1985?
You know what? I don't know if I've seen that.
I think that's the one with Raymond Burr in it.
He was in the original. Well, he was in the American version of the original.
Yeah, he may have been in that 85 one too.
He might have been in the 85. I don't think I've seen it. I mean, I don't. Like I said, I only got a handful. I got a handful of them on DVD, but that's not one of them. I would like to see it, but let's not fool each other. The regular Japanese Godzilla movies are not works of art, but they're fun.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? This one was touted as being this great action movie that was going to, going to be awesome. And it wasn't. I mean, end of story. No other way to put it. But I got a couple more I'd like to just rattle off.
Sure, go for it.
If y'all want to jump in on them, that's fine. Pink Panther, the new Pink Panthers.
Any Pink Panther movie that doesn't have Peter Sellers.
Yes, let's put it that way.
Yes.
Yes.
I can agree to that.
Fully agree with that.
Battlefield Earth.
Any film based on L. Ron Hubbard's work?
Yeah, okay, that's another
good
one.
That was a good riff tracks, though. You should download it.
I will try to get that one. The Island of Dr. Moreau, the newest one with, what's his name, Brando.
Marlon Brando and Val Kilmer, yeah.
Yeah, that was a horrible movie.
That might be future B-movie review material.
Yeah. Now, for me, these are a couple of obvious ones. Now, I'll get on a couple one that might not be so obvious. It's Pat.
Ooh. Yeah.
Almost any Saturday Night Live skit that was turned into a movie.
Yeah,
I agree with you.
That's not the Blues Brothers, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I can even tolerate Wayne's World, but that's about it.
That's tolerate is a very strong, too strong of a word for that movie for me. But, the new Willy Wonka movie. He-Man, if you ever got a chance to see that one. He-Man and the Masters of the Universe.
I didn't even know they'd done that. Wow.
Dolph
Lundgren's first movie.
Well,
that was a movie that looked like it almost could have had a little bit of promise, and then they were just asleep at the wheel.
Then they hired Dolph Lundgren.
Past the credits. Yeah, exactly.
Speaking of Dolph Lundgren, we should add the original Punisher film to that.
Oh, yeah, that is bad. That is bad. I got two more quick ones. Three more. Avatar.
Are you like...
No, I did not like Avatar. If I wanted to see that, I would watch, the story of Pocahontas.
Yeah, well, there's nothing original about that story. I mean, it's been done a million times.
I don't like necessarily watching movies just for the effects, because there was no fucking story in there to me. That I haven't seen 100 times.
I saw that in 3D, and I really think that was I saw it in 3D at the IMAX, and I think that was the only way I would watch it and enjoyed that film, because like you said, the story was nothing new, but it visually stunning film, especially in format.
Visually, it was a beautiful movie. I agree with you on that, but I just, when you strip that away, it's not much to it.
No, there was nothing to it, no.
And a personal hatred of mine, simply because of the last 5 minutes make no fucking sense to me, is The Ninth Gate.
I was so disappointed in that film. It was going along so well.
I heard so many people say that exact same thing that it scared me off. I never watched it.
Yeah. It's a great movie to the last five minutes. And I'm like, what the fuck? Me and Mrs. Lefty watched it, and we were just looking at each other. It's like, what the fuck did we just waste our time watching? Because there was no ending.
Just Poncho and I felt the same way. My honest, and I'm going to stick with the idea I had at the time, was that the budget ran out, and Polanski just said, okay, that's a wrap. We're done. Go home.
It must have been. That's France. What it felt like. Exactly. Lunchtime. Yeah. All right, that's my rant. I'll sit back and listen to you guys.
Okay. You're next.
I'm next. Rando. Okay. All right. The Three Stooges.
Yeah.
Never saw it, but I can only imagine.
It's the trailer basically tells you how bad the film is. I never watched it just because I hated the damn trailer so much. The thing is, I can see Will Sasso as Curly. I really can.
Right.
But yeah, the way they wrote the film, no, don't put the Stooges in a contemporary setting. It does not work.
The Three Stooges movie I would actually like to see would be a biography of the three of them.
That's where I was headed. If they had done a bio, I would have been in line. I'd have been in line when they announced it.
Yeah. But that was just a piece of shit. That comedy just doesn't work in a modern setting.
Agreed. I mean,
it was a product of its time, and it's still funny to watch it now, but you can't replicate that now.
Oh, yeah. No. Smurfs.
I watched about 5 minutes of that because what's her name's in it?
I love what's her name.
Yeah, what's her name? Sophia. What's her name? Vargas.
Oh, Sophie Vargas.
Yeah, she's in it. I watched it like 5 minutes of her, but the rest of the movie was just shit.
Yeah, I believe it. Scooby Doo.
Ooh.
Okay. Little caveat on that: the girl that played Velma.
Velma is hot, definitely, but that. She alone is not enough to see that movie because she's not in it enough.
She's not in it enough, but I like the bit she's in, though.
But even she can't save that turd of a film.
I've never heard the words Velma and hot in the same sentence before.
Dude, you obviously don't have the right types of fantasies. She plays all demure and smart, but think of those treasures under that orange sweater.
I know. When I'm home alone, I put on an ascot and, sorry.
She plays all nice and demure, but man, when she takes them glasses off.
No holds barred.
Really, basically, almost any cartoon that's been redone into a live-action movie really should not be made.
Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Almost everything that they try to aim specifically at, like, a 7 years old and under crowd is going to be shit. I mean, it's almost an insult to them. You can give them a quality piece of entertainment without having to, you know, realize, oh my God, we've gone, you know, a minute and a half without a booger or a fart joke. Put one in now. It's an insult.
I like fart jokes.
And I mean, really, kids are more sophisticated than you give them credit for. And I believe that, you know, a lot of even those kids are just sitting there rolling their eyes because, you know, the parents are.
Oh yeah, I agree with you.
There's a ton of children's movies that are just utter crap. And they keep cranking them out. Smurfs 2. They're making a Smurfs sequel, for God's sakes.
Seriously?
Yes.
I thought the first one bombed.
No, evidently it made 50 cents, so they're going to make another one.
That's silly. That is just
That's probably one of those things that made a lot of money on DVD sales.
There's some people who went to see it for nostalgia. These people are probably the same ones who enjoy a solid month of Christmas music. People, exactly. Another class of people I'd like to see explode.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Oh my God!
You got any more?
Holy shit! It's hard to narrow down. Avatar. I would love to. I agree with you about Avatar, only because Cameron years ago has said, "I'm going to make a Battle Angel Alita movie," and I'm like, "I'm there." All and right. It's like, well, it'll be right after Avatar. I'm like, okay, I can wait. No, it's going to be after I make Avatar 2 and 3. I'm like, you sack of shit. You utter sack of shit.
He won't do it.
Somebody should punch you in the mouth right now for saying that.
Yeah. Let's see. How about you, Pancho?
Oh, I haven't put as much thought into this as you guys have, obviously. It's been a trying week, and as I said earlier, I had a headache earlier today, so my thought processes are not up to par. But the first one that immediately jumps out is a movie I actually sat through at the theater, which was the sequel to The Crow. The Crow 2 City of Angels, I think it was called.
Oh, yeah.
Worst fucking film I've ever seen in the theater. Oh, my God. Terrible. A lot of people would say the first one shouldn't have been made either, but I enjoyed the first one at the time I saw it. I don't want to see it again because I don't want to. I probably won't enjoy it a second time. But
okay, question. Quick question. Yeah. Have you read the book, and did you read the book before you saw the movie?
No, I have not read it. And I understand it's completely different from what they did in the film.
Yeah. No, if you read the book, it will. There will be no chance you will ever want to watch the first film again.
Well, I don't really want to because I really enjoyed it at the time, but I'm just saying it will
destroy any nostalgia you have for that movie.
Okay. Yeah. Fine.
So I'm just curious if you went into it knowing the source material.
No, I didn't. I didn't. And I still haven't read it, unfortunately. The other one that immediately popped into my mind was Godfather 3.
Yeah, I didn't even bother watching that one. I heard it was just bad. I know you didn't like it because you loved the first
one. Oh, I love my favorite films. The first one is my favorite film.
And when you didn't have anything to do with the third one, I didn't even
bother. I went to see it at the theater, and it could have been a lot better had it been recast. The big problem being that Coppola cast his daughter as one of the main – as Al Pacino's daughter, and I love Sophie Coppola as a director. If you've ever seen The Virgin Suicides or Lost in Translation, you'll understand why. But she's not an actress. She's a terrible actress, and she really brought the whole film down. And at the end of it all, I just didn't see that it was really necessary to have made the film in the first place. It really didn't. I guess it kind of completed the character of Michael Corleone and kind of brought him to his conclusion, but you could have just left it alone. I mean, the first two were such a statement. You know, it was cashing in, pretty much. So.
I can see that.
Yeah.
Oh, shoot.
I don't know what else.
Well, I got a couple more real quick.
Go for it.
All righty. Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers.
Horrible
movie.
The version they put in the theaters was terrible. The version they have on DVD is a lot better.
That's the one I've yet to see, but I saw this one in the theater, and I was just rolling my eyes and saying shit out loud. And I'm like, that's never a good sign. So that was embarrassing, Mrs. Lefty. So,
oh, I got one.
Okay.
What about Bob?
I never saw it. I didn't see any reason to even attempt to see it.
I would never want to see it because of a previous person we used to know named Bob. They always used to run around and say that. What about Bob?
God damn. This is an in-joke just for the three of us, so ignore that last bit. I had to go see it because at the time my sister was a little girl. My stepsister was a little girl, and her cousin was along with us. And the two of us and my mother went to the movies, and Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves had just come out. Another movie that probably never should have been made.
No.
I wanted to go see that, but they didn't want to go see that. They wanted to go see What About Bob? So we ended up having to sit through that. And I ended up walking out with like half an hour left, and I just sat in the theater until the movie was done. It was just terrible.
That bad? Wow.
I mean, it's very rare that I'd get up and leave a film, but terrible. Terrible.
Ooh, well, that reminds me. I didn't leave the theater, but I did fall asleep in the movie because it was so bad. Dick Tracy.
Yeah,
not a
that
good
was
film.
A disaster.
No, it's not. I went to see that film for one reason and one reason only, and that was for the very short cameo by Dick Van Dyke. And they ended up killing him.
Well, that's a very specific reason.
Yeah.
There's no other reason. Warren Beatty? Nah. No, don't think so.
Yeah. Nah. As I've always said about that movie, if Madonna is the best thing about your film has a lot of problems.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
She's not an actress either. She's an even worse actress than Sophie Coppola.
Yeah, she's.
And who, oddly enough, good. Madonna was considered for the role that Sophie Coppola got. But it was too old at the time.
Oh.
Yeah, and then it went to Winona Ryder, who got sick, and they cast Sophie at the last minute, so.
No, that's not a good sign.
All courtesy of my Godfather tribute book.
There you go. That's funny. Oh, I thought just thought of all a right. good one. Jaws of the Revenge.
Any Jaws film after the first one.
Right, the second one I can stand, except for the kids in it. I really wanted all of them to be eaten. But I mean, but I didn't mind that one so much. But the third and the 3D one is very, very bad. That's the Lou Gossett Jr. and the Quaid.
Dennis Quaid.
Dennis Quaid was in that. The fourth one, the plot was so fucking stupid. And this is the movie that proved to me that Michael Caine will do anything. So, yeah, the shark basically follows the mother down of the two boys down to the islands in the Caribbean.
The shark that's been killed repeatedly in previous films.
Right, exactly. So somehow it's still alive.
Speaking of sequels, anything after Superman 2?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Superman 4,
yeah,
especially.
Safe to say.
Yeah.
Superman 4 was. Superman 4 was one of those that it could have been a Mystery Science Theater or Riff Tracks. Superman 3, it's like you watch the film, you're like, Richard Pryor? Really?
Yeah. I don't get that one. Now, this isn't really sequels, but anything made after The Sixth Sense by what's his name?
Oh, Shyamalan.
Unnecessary. Yeah, I think anything after Sixth Sense is really unnecessary.
Now, I liked Unbreakable.
I liked Unbreakable,
too. Didn't.
And
I
enjoyed Signs, even though I know a lot of people don't. But
I didn't care for that. I didn't care for the other one, The Village or whatever it was.
I never saw it. I could see the plot of that one from the trailer, so I didn't see the point.
Oh, me too. That's why I refused to see it. I was like, okay, he's lost.
Yeah, the Lady in the Water, I liked the first. I liked the movie as a character piece up until Paul Giamatti dives into the water to retrieve whatever the hell little mystic thing it was that he had to retrieve. After that, the movie turned into a giant cinematic steaming pile of diarrhea. And it was basically, you know, him handling his characters poorly, showing the audience how poorly that some of them were even created. And then spending a significant portion of the film building up to the point of where he's basically sucking his own cock. Because he actually played a character in the film who was a writer. And this mystic creature says, you know, you are going to write something that will change the world. So, oh, God, just stop. Yeah. It's like all these friggin' hip-hop bands who have these songs that only mention their own name.
Right. Well, did you ever see, was it The Happening?
I've been wanting to see the riff tracks of that, but
oh my God, I don't understand how any Wahlberg has gotten a goddamn job. That man cannot act. I don't understand his appeal at all.
You ever see The Departed?
No, I haven't seen.
He's good in The Departed.
He's good for action.
He's good.
Really?
He's good in. Yeah, he's a good action star, and he was good in Boogie Nights, but I think he was basically playing himself, minus the gigantic penis.
I mean, to me, he just has no delivery, hardly.
No.
You know what I mean? He's just like he's reading it. He's like he's trying to be himself in every movie, and it doesn't work in every movie. I don't know. That's just me. I mean.
Wow. All righty. I think we've run out of time.
Oh, well, I think we got a lot covered
today. We did. The B-Movie Review returns next week. I believe it is Lefty's turn.
Yes, it is my turn, and the movie I'm going to treat your senses with is Dead Heat. It's a really, really bad movie with Joe Piscopo, and I really probably shouldn't have to say anything after that.
Yeah.
Joe Piscopo and the main guy, Treat Williams.
Yeah, two stellar actors there.
Yeah, it's a bad movie, and I'm looking forward to hearing what you guys think about it.
Cool. All righty. Well, you got anything to add, Rando?
Not yet, other than I'm looking at it on Netflix now, and I'm surprised it's gotten 2.5.
Wow.
That's being very, very generous.
Looking forward to it.
Ah, yes, me too. All right, keep an eye out on the blog, guys. We're going to try to be updating it up, you know, a little more. Poncho's got his baseball post he's going to be making. I'm going to try to do a couple, you know, a video game review here and there and some random thoughts. And I'm sure Rando has got something.
Yes, I will empty my mind over the internet soon.
So that's at mlctaskforce.com.
And we're on Facebook at facebook.com/MidnightCrisisTaskForce. And we're also on iTunes.
Yay! Yay!
We hit the big time.
Yes.
And also, for those diehard people who like old technology, we're on email at mlctaskforce@gmail.com.
That's pretty sad that email is considered old technology now. We're getting so old.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, my. Well, we're looking forward to our next talk. We hope you are, too. And just keep out there and just keep listening. We'll be out there.
Yep. Have a good one. We'll talk to you next week.
See you soon, gang.